Hi, this is Alex Hughes. You're listening to Music's Journey podcast with my friend, Kim Sear.
You just heard a snippet of the new single After 31 by Canadian pop country artist Alex Hughes. The Calgary-based artist brings her truly authentic and distinctive sound to country music here in Canada. Alex weaves her R&B runs into classic country melodies with that pop-driven beat that have led Alex to great success with Country Music Alberta as their Horizon Female Artist of the Year nomination and a top 12 finalist position in the Project Wild Country Artist Development Program. She has been busy writing over 50 co-writes with some pretty special artists. And here to talk about her brand new single and her music's journey, here is Alex Hughes.
Thanks so much for having me, Kim. I'm so excited.
I'm telling you, you have been making such noise out in the West Coast there. You are doing amazing things.
Thank you for saying that. I've been working hard out here, so it's nice to hear that that's getting noticed a little bit.
It is. It definitely is. It's great to have you on the show for the first time and to be able to introduce some of our international listeners to some of your great music and all that you've been up to.
Oh, well, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We're going to get into all the co-writes because you've been doing an awful lot with some pretty amazing artists out there. But let's talk about a little bit about your musical journey growing up and how you got the music bug in the first place.
Sure, yeah. So I started music at quite a young age, in choir in elementary school. The teachers would always give me, solos and I grew up in quite a large multicultural family, so we always had these huge backyard barbecues. My mom has 8 siblings, so a family get-together would easily be around 100 people, and I can remember as early as, 4, 5, 6, performing and singing and dancing for my friends and family. And the day I think I truly got the bug, I was about 7 years old, and my dad is actually a web developer, and he was doing a website for a karaoke company. So I went into the store, and the store owner kind of encouraged me to just try out the machine, try singing on the mic. And that was the first time I ever got to, hear my voice amplified on a mic. And I sang a song, and you could tell by the look on the face of the store owner, I said, oh, you're really actually quite good. And he encouraged me to enter a singing contest called the Kickin' Country Karaoke Contest, which was a little contest that we had here in my hometown of Calgary. And I entered, and I got to compete against, different artists of all ages and different degrees of professionalism, and I ended up winning.
Wow.
And not only that, but I fell in love with being on the stage and performing in front of people. So,
and that's a special place to be because you are an amazing storyteller, and that's a different category all its own. And
right.
To be able to deliver that, that kind of classic country, but you've really added that pop flair and that R&B sound, to what you deliver in your music. Where does that all come from in your family?
Yeah, so, what was so fun about growing up in such a diverse family was we had all kinds of music playing all the time. So I can remember those backyard family barbecues. It was like a lot of hip-hop and R&B and even some pop, and then some of my aunties would play country hits. And I spent a lot of time, I was quite close with my papa, and he came to Canada from India, so we would watch Bollywood movies, and I loved the singing and the music and that.
Mm.
So my musical influences are just truthfully all over the map.
So the diversity is pretty cool because your grandmother, or your what do you call her? Papa and...
Yeah, my Nana and Papa.
Yeah. So your Nana also could sing too.
She was actually a performer as well. So my great grandparents, her mom and dad, they had a traveling show in India. So it was a Polynesian style show. So both of my Nana and her sister, they would dance and sing along in the show, where their dad played guitar and their mom, you know, sang and danced as well. So it's a long list of family members who've been entertainers.
And here you are in country.
Country music in Alberta.
Just that transition. Yep.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a gift that you've got, because you, at such a young age, how did you know that you loved the story writing, like the storytelling and being able to write your own songs?
You know, I think part of it was when I was little. I think one of my aunties gave me a Leanne Rimes CD, and I loved that CD and I played it a lot. But then when I discovered some of my favorite songs on that CD weren't actually songs that she'd written. They were, I think it was, she did a cover of Crazy by Patsy Cline on one of her, you know, younger albums. And I was so little, but I wanted to find out more about that person. I wanted to know about Patsy Cline and you know, why she wrote the things she wrote. And I fell in love with that old country sound, and I just really was fascinated by, it's so cool to be able to sing songs and tell stories. And I know there's lots of artists that, you know, don't necessarily sing songs that they've written, but they can deliver them so well and so emotionally, and that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I did definitely realize I want to tell stories, and I want to be the one to kind of be able to write those stories and share those emotions that come from me. So
pretty cool. Pretty cool. Patsy Cline is one that stood out for me, because I'm a rock girl and an R&B girl through and through.
Right.
But I love country as well, and Patsy Cline was one that stood out for me. I loved the story behind her whole life, you know, Loretta Lynn, and you know, so many of the other artists that followed, you know, that worked alongside of her at that time. And it just, to me, was a revolution, you know, of change in country music, you know, at that point. And it kept changing and evolving and changing. And here we are today, because you really represent that little bit of that R&B, as I said, that pop infusion for sure, into your country music. And it is doing so well. The new generation is still learning, you know, they're still able to hear the classic storytelling, you know, in your music, which is amazing. But at the same time, that evolving change is here again. And that classic country is still coming back, you know, for this new generation too, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, you're so right. It's so cool to see, you know, that there's artists that are doing some really cool nods to that old country sound, but finding ways to kind of modernize it and create new things that are unique too, that still, you know, honor that. Right.
And now we're seeing people that are coming from the rap background, people that are coming from, you know, pop artists to, you know, rock artists that are going back to working with other artists and doing these duets and different types of songs that we're seeing out there. And it's really, really cool.
Totally. I couldn't agree more. I think it's a pretty cool time in music. And, you know, it's really cool to look back on history and see how, you know, so many artists have been influenced by other different genres, and how, you know, you can really appreciate it all. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, the storytelling part of it and the songwriter in you. Now, you've talked about Patsy Cline. Was there somebody that stood out to you, a song in particular, that stood out to you when you were growing up that really touched you emotionally and made you say, okay, you know, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually have been doing a little reflecting on that. When was the moment that I, you know, really decided I wanted to be a songwriter? And I actually do have a pretty clear moment. And I had already been writing, but this was a moment when I just really felt just so moved by songwriting and storytelling. So I was at the Canadian Country Music Awards, and they, you know, there's a week worth of events sort of leading up to to the awards, and I won a singing contest when I was, I think, 17 or 18, called the Global Country Star Search. So I got to go to the CCMAs as part of the prize, and this was the first time I was exposed to, you know, industry events on that level. And I got to go to a songwriter round where Hillary Lindsay was playing. And I, you know, I did a little bit of research into, you know, some of my favorite songs. Like, at that time, I was just obsessed with Carrie Underwood. Just, and I, you know, I still think she's absolutely wonderful.
One of the best.
Absolutely, yeah. But I just thought it was, I didn't really realize that I was just starting to learn how about co-writing, and so there were different writers in the room that helped build these epic songs. So one of my favorites was Jesus Take the Wheel, and Hillary Lindsay said, you know, this is a song that I was part of writing, and she kind of told a bit of the story behind it from her perspective, and she played it, and that was amazing. There was another song she played in the round, and it was called Concrete Heart, and I heard that song, and it just, you know, sometimes songs just hit you and they make you feel so emotional and so connected. And I heard that song and I was like, oh, someone's going to cut that song and it's going to be the biggest song in the world. It's the best song I've ever heard. But you know what? I don't think it ever got cut. And I, you know, I'm not sure why, but there was just something about that song that was so special. And it really inspired me to pursue songwriting and storytelling, because it moved me so much. It made me think, if I can write a song that moves somebody else that much, even just one person, how amazing would that be?
And I think that's what I love about country music. I know other genres are doing it well too, but there's just something very special when it comes to country music, and it touches a soul in a way that is just so different to me. And I think that's why I gravitate to it. And
totally.
I always can place myself in exactly where I was. I think everybody can, especially in this last year and a half. Any memories that we have, whether they're good or bad, or, you know, somebody that you've fallen in love with, so many aspects of your life, little snippets of time, you can always remember exactly what you were doing, where you were when you first hear that song, and how you gravitate to whatever is going on in your life, whether, like I said, celebration, pain, or, you know, grief, anything, we'll gravitate back to that song again. And it stands the test of time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And yeah, and you're right. You'll remember it forever in that way.
And you are one of those writers.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Wow, thank you.
You are one of those writers. And I think we're going to be seeing an awful lot of you in the next couple of years. And I'm really excited to see where this journey takes you, and being able to see you at this stage and exactly where you're going to be in 5 years. I think you're going to be shocked at what you've accomplished.
That really means a lot. Thank you so much.
Well, you're pretty special. Now, since you released you had a current project debut single, which was Strong As You, and that was in 2019, you have been making waves in Alberta, as I said before, in the music industry. Some pretty incredible artists, including some feature vocal performances. Tell us about that.
I've been really blessed to be asked by, you know, a few different friends from all different genres of music to be part of their projects, which I think is really cool, because music is so special to artists, and when somebody asks you to be part of that and create that with them, it's such an honor. So yeah, I've been able to be part of a few different projects. I was a feature singer on my friend Fan's Dreams album called Hang Up On Me, and that one was a pretty wild one for me, because he's a pop punk artist, which is a genre I've never explored. And, you know, as we were talking, you know, I've sang everything, like everything from R&B to jazz to, you know, a little bit of everything, but that was one I hadn't quite tackled yet. And I found it incredibly challenging to sing with, like, angst. So that was a really cool one. I've been able to sing on some collaborative songs with Blue Jay Sessions. We've done a couple of singles that are, you know, a whole bunch of different artists from, you know, all different genres that get together to sing on a track together, and they're usually for a charitable cause. So that's been pretty cool.
That was Sitting on Top of the World, right?
That was, yeah, sitting. We did Sitting on Top of the World and Both Sides Now for nice. That one.
And that tells you right there, too, you know, how much respect people have. You took part in the Blue Jays Holiday Edition, and that was from November 18th to the 21st in the support of the CKP Calgary, right?
It was, yes. And it was wonderful. It's so nice to, you know, the Blue Jay sessions. I think this is the, I want to say first or it's the second year anniversary, actually, because, you know, it's a bit of a blur with the whole year. We were, you know, not mm-hmm. really able to do as much, but it's such a cool family of artists who, you know, and it's welcoming really to everybody. But it's such an honor to be able to be part of that group and perform at these songwriting sessions because it features so many different artists from so many different genres. And we just had the holiday edition, which was a lot of fun because we always get to throw in a little Christmas song. And it's a fun way to kick off the holiday season and, you know, start to get in the spirit.
Well, it's nice because things have opened up a little bit. And of course, like for me, I've got so many Christmas songs I've got to deal with, you know, when it comes to doing the interviews and stuff. But there's an awful lot of music out there right now. And I think it's a pretty special year, you know, with things opening up, you know, a little bit, and, you know, people just starting to feel themselves just a little, you know, and that's a big deal when it comes to this holiday season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think not being able to do, you know, the holidays in the way that we would like to do last year makes this year that much more special. And I think it's so funny you say you've got so many holiday songs, because I think people, you know, that I wrote 3 Christmas songs last year, which is super unusual. I think we just had more time.
It makes a difference when you guys have the quality time, because you're coming off of 2019, a pretty big year for you. And you want to be able to release your new music and work with all of that, get onto the radio tours, then you're out there performing your live music, and all that comes to a stop. And yeah. You guys are not used to having that kind of time to be able to reflect and to be able to just really work on your music and just different ideas that you just wouldn't have time for. There's just no way with the type of schedules you guys have.
Yeah, no, and you're so right. It's easy to be busy, and as an artist, I think we have to be busy. For me, myself at least, I have to book as many gigs as possible to kind of subsidize mm-hmm. the cost of recording and going on tour and all those things. So to have that time to slow down was actually, I really appreciated it. And for all the reasons you're saying, just to, you know, really spend time doing artist development, figuring out, you know, what kind of artist you really want to be and what you want to say, and then also just write a ton of songs, because that's how you get good music, is just by, you know, writing as much as possible.
Do you go by titles, or do you, like, how do you approach a song?
You know, it's different every time. I tend to be more of a, I would say my strengths lie a little more in melody, for at least getting started. So I'll have a little, like, hook idea in my head of how I think, la 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 la, like, oh, that would sound good. And then I'll record that on my phone as a voice note, and then bring that to a songwriting session. And, you know, sometimes some other writers have a title idea already. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this title would be great for that. Or we'll go through, like, I always keep a list of titles and maybe even little lyrical ideas in my phone. So, you know, you kind of start to go through some of those. But yeah, it can be different every time. Start with the melody, start with, you know, a hook, or even just a feeling. Like, I've gone into some writing sessions where somebody is, you know, going through a personal moment, and you spend a few minutes talking about that and, you know, mm-hmm. kind of catching up with a friend. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, maybe we should write about that. So it really depends.
Very cool. Now, when it comes to hearing somebody's personal story, I guess that would be, you know, that moment where you can say, okay, what message do I want to put out there, you know, from this story? And that is kind of how you would build the lyrics around that, right?
Yeah, and it can be really interesting because, you know, sometimes you spend so much time with some writers that you become really good friends, and so it's sort of funny because sometimes you'll spend half the write just chatting and catching up and hanging out, and then realize, you know, maybe those things are what we should write about, because you know, if you're feeling that, there, it's probably pretty certain that there are other people that can relate to those feelings.
Mm-hmm. So. Exactly. And being able to change some lives out there. And I think that's when songs are pretty special, when they come to that place where people can relate to their own personal journey, whether or not, you know, it's love or whether or not, like we said, pain or could be a loss or just, you know, tough times that you're dealing with. I think that's what makes a song magic, have a different message for different stories in people's lives. And those words, that's why you guys are magic when it comes to the lyrics, because you can create all these different stories just out of two lines, you know, what people can get out of that. And it's just pretty cool. Very cool.
Aww. Well, I love that perspective, and thank you for saying that. That's really cool. I think it's really special when, you're right, people can, maybe you don't relate to the story word for word, but those words could mean something different to you. And mm-hmm. and if people relate to it, then, you know, that's why we do it.
Yeah, because you guys are writing for one reason. And then somebody gets something completely different out of that you never would have thought of. And it's got to feel pretty cool when people are coming up and saying, you know what, this is what happened to me, and this is what your song did for me.
Totally. Yeah, it's a pretty cool feeling for sure.
Now, you've been co-writing, you've got credits on Leaving Thomas, which we've had, you know, we've had them on the show so many times.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So Lie to Me, is a song that was on Leaving Thomas's album, and it was such a fun one, and I was so honored to work with them because I've been such a big fan of theirs for so long. So to be able to have an opportunity to write with them and then have them put it on their album was pretty cool. I've really been working hard on trying to be more open and honest in my songwriting, because I've noticed I can really see that comes through and it comes across for people at when I'm performing live or playing and people are just listening to the song. So I've been really working hard on, I'm honestly quite a private person, so I've been really trying to let my, you know, to be a little raw. And what's really cool is I think this latest release and the releases that I have coming up are starting to show that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love, like, you know, listening to other people's stories and trying to write from what they're going through. I think it's really cool to be able to channel people's emotions and try to, you know, help them through that, because half the time our writing sessions can be therapy, truthfully, like just, you know, working through something and, you know, having somebody on the other side of the room just, you know, saying, you know, I can relate to that, and let's put it to a song, and let's, you know, let's go through these emotions in this process and see if we can make something beautiful out of it.
It's like going to group.
Totally is.
This is group for lyrics.
Yeah, it totally is.
You've been doing co-writes in Chicago and Nashville and all kinds of places all over the world. So I know that you had to do a lot of that by Zoom. But that mm-hmm. had to have been different too, because you're not getting that energy that you would when you're sitting in a room, you know, in a writing session.
Yeah, you know, at first it was a little bit awkward, to be honest. And I'm sure a lot of the, you know, artists you talk to will say the same thing. You're not used to it. But at this point, I almost prefer it, just because it opens the doors to so many mm-hmm. other places, and you don't have to spend the money on the flights or the travel or any of that kind of stuff.
Well, hey, they're creating the records like right in their own homes now. They've had to.
Yeah,
learning how to do all that, not working, you know, in the studio the same, and being able to send your vocals to the studio. And, you know, I'm sure that that's happened before all this, but more so now than ever before. You've been doing an awful lot. So you also released your follow-up singles, Gentleman and Drive, which was featuring an awful lot on there too, when it come to Shannon MacArthur, that has really worked with you closely.
Yeah, so Shannon is a friend that I actually met many years ago when I was living back in Los Angeles. And Shannon and I met at a songwriter night, like kind of like an open mic songwriter night. And we really hit it off, and we decided we wanted to get together and try writing. So, you know, we met up and wrote, and we actually wrote the song Drive. And it was, and this would have been probably, I think, 10 years ago. And I moved away from Los Angeles. Shannon moved to Nashville, where he lives and works as a producer and artist as well there now. But, and, you know, we just sort of grew apart and you know, kept on in touch a little bit, like on social media. But, yeah, just hadn't really seen each other. And it was actually during COVID that I was, you know, looking at his stuff and the stuff that he was producing. And I just sent him a message and said, hey, remember that song Drive that we wrote, you know, so many years ago? My friends and family still ask about it because we had done like a little YouTube video of it. And people were like, I really like that song. Like, I wish you would have recorded it. So I said, you know, we're kind of both stuck at home right now. What you doing? You want to see if we can make something out of that song? So that's exactly what we did. That was my first experience ever recording completely remotely. So I went out to Long and McQuaid and rented a bunch of recording gear. And Shannon, you know, has a home studio in Nashville. So I was able to record all my own vocals, and I learned Logic, and I learned how to comp them myself. And it was pretty cool because it was the first time ever, and just such a great learning experience. I learned so much from that, that it kind of led to me wanting to approach Shannon to produce my next single, because it just, it felt really right. Like, it really felt meant to be. I mm-hmm. felt like the music was coming out in a way that was really, you know, unique to what's happening here in the music scene. I think, you know, we have some really, really talented producers that live, you know, in the vicinity of where I am. But there was just something sort of unique happening, and we decided to kind of jump on that. So,
and it's nice when you have something familiar when you're going into projects like this, and that this is a it's a different stage for you, you know, a different time again, those snippets of time and how much you've evolved, you know, as a singer-songwriter.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
To come into your new single, which is After 31, the story behind it, we were talking about that honesty and those raw lyrics and being able to be free when it comes to your story, your journey in life, you know, that so many of us can relate to. And the song has done that really, really well.
Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate that. Shannon MacArthur, he produced it. And then we also have the banjo hook is was recorded by and sent over to us from Mitch J, who's a fantastic...
I know Mitch really well.
Okay, I love Mitch. Yeah, no, he's the best.
he's good. He's played on so many records. Now, After 31 is that true coming-of-age moment for you and that honest and raw part of your life. So here is After 31 by Canadian country artist Alex Hughes here on Music's Journey.
Fighting with your mom like she's your enemy. 18, she's picking up the pieces after he leaves. 20, trying to be the life of every single party. And 23, you start to notice you shouldn't trust everybody.
was After 31 by Canadian pop country artist Alex Hughes. This one is definitely putting her on the map across Canada, and I think this is a pretty exciting time. So captivating as a storyteller you are. Incredible.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you for playing it for the viewers.
Well, your intimacy and your artistry that you create in your music is really beautiful to hear. And I have such an appreciation for that and how much, you know, you're honing in on those skills as a songwriter. And you've really done it very, very well. So I want to remind fans you can purchase, download the new single on all the streaming platforms. You can share it on all your socials and your playlists. You can also request it at your local country radio station. You've had some chance to do this live, you know, in some pretty amazing shows lately. Calgary Stampede being one of them.
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty incredible. We were able to open up a little bit this summer, and it's been a bucket list show for me my whole life growing up in Calgary, seeing so many amazing artists take the Nashville North stage at the Calgary Stampede. I've always wanted to play there, so to get the opportunity to play there and play a few original tunes on that type of a stage was just an absolutely incredible feeling.
It was different this year too, because like last year obviously they didn't do it, but this year the borders weren't open, so it was only Canadian artists that were showcased this year.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was pretty incredible to be able to see so many of my friends and peers be able to take these stages that we've all, you know, really been working really hard to try to get to. And, you know, it was definitely too bad that, you know, the border was still closed, but to be able to see so many Canadian artists, it was really cool.
There was some good artists that were on there this year, and I had the pleasure to interview quite a few of them. I just haven't been able to get out there, obviously.
<Right. laughs>
It's been, I think, 4 or 5, well, it'll be more than that, actually. I think it's like 7 years since I've been out to Calgary. So it would, yeah, far too long when I'm thinking about it.
I hope to get a chance to get here soon, especially for Stampede, because as you know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, my daughter-in-law works for the Calgary Stampede, and my son's moving out there with his wife, so it gives me extra reason to go out there.
There you go. That's awesome.
Looking forward to it. Now, new program that you've been doing, the Music Artist Development Program, so that you're a part of right now in Calgary. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm part of a artist development program called Project Wild. So this program is put on by Alberta Music, as well as Wild 95.3, the country music station here. And it's an incredible opportunity for 12 artists to compete for some really big prize money to put towards your musical career. And, you know, the prize money is incredible, but what's invaluable is the experience. We're part of it's an over 6 month long process where we're, you know, working with different industry professionals and mentors, and we're learning all about the music industry, as well as, you know, working on a full business proposal, which so many of us artists just really aren't business people. If, you know, we're much more creatively gifted, I guess you could say, than, you know, in the business world. So we're given, you know, all of these tools that we'll get to use to put towards our music career, and even build, you know, this quite extensive business plan is just such an incredible experience to try to learn and take it all in. And we get to do some showcasing as well in February. So it's just so cool to have, you know, this kind of opportunity, mm-hmm. as well as just to have these goals and things to work on. I think it was, you know, kind of tough coming out of the pandemic, and, you know, any forward progress we were making kind of felt like, you know, you were taking a little bit of a step back. But being in this program has really just lit the fire underneath again, and I just feel so inspired to keep moving and keep pushing. And it's such a cool opportunity to also gain more tools and knowledge to work on and work towards.
It's not just that simple anymore like it was years ago, and you have to be able to wear all the hats in your own career.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got to be turnkey for a label to even look at you, and that includes your socials, which that's a full-time job all on its own. And, you know, somebody does your tracking, you know, somebody's promoting, you know, the singles for you. You guys have to pay that out of pocket. And, you know, to just do radio tour, you know, people don't realize you got to leave your job. If you're not doing it full time, you got to leave your job to be able to take that time off to go do a radio tour, come back if your boss will have you, and, you know, to be able to continue working for a little bit, to be able to get ready for doing all these shows. And you might get called to do a show and can't do it because you can't take time off work. It's just like, it's hard to navigate getting into this business now, and especially with radio too. Big difference to what radio wants and to what the fans want out there.
Totally. Yeah, you've nailed it exactly. It's really challenging to, you know, be able to actually be all those roles and then be, you know, work to be able to subsidize all of the things like, the radio tour or paying for, you know, promotion or people to be part of your team. And, you know, you nailed it just in that it can be really challenging.
Mm-hmm. Especially that team too. But to be able to afford to be able to do it on your own and go into it full time, and it's not an easy leap. You know, we've had so many artists that have been on the show, and what it was like for them to take that leap of faith and go 100% all in, which means you probably have to sleep on a couch somewhere, and, you know, being, you know, you got to have somewhere to go to be able to make that happen. You're not going to be able to do this and being able to put that grind that you got to do. And that means doesn't matter what venue you're going out there and you're playing, whether it's for 10 people to, you know, 300 or more. It's just, you've got to be able to do that. And you're going to have good nights and you're going to have bad nights where you're just playing to just a few people. But those are what creates the character. And I remember having Michelle Wright on here just, and she spent six years doing the bar scene.
Wow.
Before she was even, you know, brought forward to even record an album and be able to, you know, go on tour at all. So, you know, it takes an awful lot of work,
It really does. And, you know, I think it's so cool that you're, you know, talking about this, because it's so true. And people kind of sometimes think, like, when they hear a new artist, like, oh wow, this artist just sort of came out of nowhere and they're so great.
Nope.
Little do they know there's this very long journey to get there, and you know, often a lifetime's worth of work to make that happen, and sacrifice too, which is really what you're saying. So,
well, usually in Nashville too, they make you sit and write for 3 years. You know, three
exactly.
to 5 years, you know, in writing sessions before they'll even take you into a studio, whether or not you've got a great song or not.
Totally.
You know, they want you to hone your skill because they want it to be a long-term career, not something that's just, you know what, hey, get on the radio and you're not prepared. And this is what you're talking about with this special development program that is so cool, because you're being able to see it from veterans in the business. They can give you their perspective and what they've been through and what it's going to take for you to be able to recognize a good team, what a good team looks like, surrounding yourself with those people that are going to stay with you, not ones that are there just because you're doing great in the moment.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It's we're so blessed to have this opportunity to get information like this, because it's really unique. It's really different. Like, most artists really have to just sort of figure this stuff out for themselves. And, and you know, we all kind of probably have been thus far, but this Project Wild opportunity is giving us some tools and resources that would be much harder to get without this opportunity. So it's really special.
Well, I am really excited for you. As I said, you've got such a bright future in this music industry. You've got such a solid foundation, and it sounds to me like you know exactly where you're going in this business and what you want to do. And that's half the battle right there, in just evolving to the stage that you're at. And I think your new release says all that. You know, after 31, you know, it's that milestone, you know, in your life right now. And it's just a new journey that has opened up.
Totally. Yeah. No. And thank you so much for saying that. It's definitely taken, you know, quite a journey to get here. But I do really feel like I'm finally starting to find where I fit. And I'm really excited to share that with the world. So,
well, you got a beautiful voice. A very beautiful voice, and you can sing anything.
Oh, thank you, Kim. That's very sweet of you.
And that helps as well. So you are working on plans to record and release your debut album in 2022, I hear.
I am, yeah. So, you know, part of the Project Wild program is we get to build a business plan to support an album release, which would be something that I was doing anyways. But to be able to have some guidance and some help in figuring out how best to do that is going to be pretty incredible. And I've got the songs that I want to put out there.
It's you've got them already.
I've got most of them, but you know, they can always change because for some reason, as artists tend to think our newest song's always our best song.
It's true. Yeah.
So I'm sure there'll be some minor adjustments, but yeah, I'm working on an album and just starting to record it, and I'm looking forward to going on the road and really getting this one out there. So
do you have a title?
Not a title yet. I'm still torn on that.
How many songs do you think you're going to be putting on this one?
I'm aiming for 12. I think there's something really special about doing a real full-length album. I want people to be able to go on a road trip and, like, you know, I want to spend some quality time with them in the car. So that's the goal.
Nice. Now, are these originals or are you co-writing with other people on this?
Yeah, they'll all be originals, and so far they're all songs that are co-writes. But I was, you know, kind of thinking it might be kind of cool to do one, you know, that I just write all by myself. So we'll see what ends up happening.
But I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh, thank you so much.
Really looking forward to this. Anything else that's coming up in the next little while?
You know, I'm really excited. I actually get to head out to the Canadian Country Music Awards next week. So I'll be playing a showcase with the Blue Jay Sessions on the Friday night. So that's my first show out in Ontario too. So I'm absolutely thrilled.
You're going to have a blast getting to meet everybody.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I wish you could be there, but hope you feel better too.
Getting there. Yeah, COVID's hit pretty hard this year, and I got nailed with that one pretty good, and right. I'm still recovering from that. So I've got to be careful and making sure, you know, I'm staying healthy and staying away from everything at the moment until I can get a little bit better. Now,
totally. Do you take care of yourself?
I absolutely will. Do you have Christmas music again this year, or?
Nothing that I'll be releasing, but I'll maybe throw a few covers and maybe some of my original Christmas stuff up on Instagram or Facebook for fun, so you can find some there.
Well, send them off to me because I can play them, you know, on 91.3, and I will put a few of them in there.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Do you have some time for some burning questions so we can get to know you just a little bit better?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Okay. Favorite artist on the radio today, any genre?
Dua Lipa.
Ooh, nice. Dua Lipa is like quite popular these days, I'm telling you.
Yes.
Okay.
Very popular.
With your love of songwriting, is there a song that you love so much that when you first heard it that you wished you wrote?
Oh, so many. Eva Cassidy's Songbird. I love that song.
Oh, that's a good song. Yeah. Really good song. If you had the opportunity to be a songwriter with anyone in any genre, past or present, learn from them and have them mentor you, who would it be and why?
You know, I think I was telling the story about Hillary Lindsay. I think I would pick her because I think, you know, I think we would be able to write some cool stuff together.
Nice. Do you have a duet that you would like to do? A dream duet?
A dream duet. Oh, so many. I love like male-female harmonies. So I'm trying to think of a male artist I've always dreamed of being able to perform with. Oh, maybe like
Shoot
Tim
for the
McGraw
Stars.
Or something.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Tim McGraw, Chris Stapleton, Keith Urban. Just manifesting that one out there. Just saying.
Oh,
it.
Yes.
Even Luke Combs. That would be so cool.
That would be really cool. Absolutely.
Favorite thing you like to do to unplug from the world?
I am a big food and wine lover. So
Ooh,
a nice
what kind
glass
of wine?
Of wine and some cheese or something.
Do you have a favorite wine?
I kind of like everything. I'm really into natural wine right now. So the stuff without any like sulfites or they all taste a little bit funkier, a little bit more like juice, but they don't give you a hangover. So
oh, that's better. That's
perks.
Better.
Yeah.
I think anybody that drinks wine can tell you that they get a little bit of a hangover. I don't, I'm a lightweight, two glasses and done.
Aww. It's kind of nice, though. We got a little bit of a wine buzz, and, you know.
It's not a little bit. It's
not a little bit.
So probably one glass, maybe just a few sips, and no, people, no.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, I'm a happy person, for sure. I don't change my personality or anything like that. I just laugh more, and it's just, yeah. My jokes come very quickly at that point.
Right, yeah.
Okay, what is your best, most useless talent?
My best, most useless talent? I think I really like... impersonating Britney Spears and singing like her.
Okay, let's hear it. Can you do it? I'm putting you right on the spot.
Yeah.
Like, she's going, thanks,
not
Kim.
It's very good now, but I'll try. Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know? Like, you know, little measly like that, right?
There you go. Well, I put you on the spot too, but that's my job. Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Okay, so favorite dessert that you're looking forward to this holiday season?
Ooh, I love that question. Honestly, this is so sad. I just love, like, super plain buttery shortbread cookies and dipping them in coffee.
See? Me too.
Really? Oh, yes. Good. I'm not the only one.
I'm telling you, I get shortbread, I'm happy. I'm just so happy. The rest of them, like, I'll bake for everybody, but no, shortbread's my thing. That's really cool. Yeah. Okay. Do you have any kind that you like or just regular?
Just regular, like plain and not super sweet. Just, yeah.
You got to try the orange.
Ooh.
I make
like
a really good.
With orange zest in it?
Yes.
Oh,
all natural. Yum. And it's so good. It is so good. It's
that
one of my favorites
amazing.
To make. I do a lemon one too, but it's not the same. I love the orange.
I'm going to try the orange this year and I'll let you know how it turns out.
Yes. It's really good. Really good. Okay, so if you could travel anywhere in the world with Tyler,
yes,
and spend some time experiencing the culture of the people, where would it be and why?
You know, it's right now we're actually saving up. We started like a literal jar, like a savings jar, because for some reason it seems like it's the most effective way for us to actually save. So we're saving up all of our cash, so from the bottles or, you know, if I get some tips at a show or anything like that, all that's going into a special jar, which is for Portugal. I really want to go to Portugal. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Portugal and Spain, food, wine, culture. I think it's got everything I'm looking for right now.
What a gorgeous place. Do you guys do any scuba diving or anything like that?
No, but I totally would. That would be really cool.
It's beautiful out there. Absolutely
is
beautiful.
It? Mm-hmm.
Really, okay. Really nice. That would be one thing that you'd want to make sure is on that bucket list for sure.
Okay. Done.
Favorite thing to do with your girlfriends?
Honestly, just kind of sit around, and I still have all the same girlfriends from high school, so we'll sit around and, you know, sip on that wine I was talking about and just reminisce and, yeah, just have a girl's night.
So over the wintertime, you have to invite a few of us, and we'll do a Zoom thing, and
that
we'll just have a
awesome
wine night, right? And we'll just share stories. That'd be cool.
I love that. That's a great idea.
Favorite TV series to watch with Tyler?
You know, we don't have a series right now, but we just finished Ted Lasso, and I loved that. Just so, have you seen it?
Mm-hmm. I've seen that. I've absolutely seen that.
Yeah, it's just lighthearted and fun. When I watch TV, I just want to kind of laugh and have fun. So I think that one was way up there for me.
Very nice. Very good. Okay, does Tyler have, well, I shouldn't say it. I know he does. Does he have a favorite Calgary Flames player?
I don't know if he has a favorite player. Uh-oh, I look like a bad wife.
He's going to be going, honey, wait. Right. I do not know this. I've told you a million times.
Yeah. I know he's a really big Tom Brady fan, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's a Super Bowl guy.
He is, yes.
Nice.
Yeah, he's big into football.
Okay. So that's cool. All right, so favorite holiday memory growing up?
I just love Christmas. You know, I think I was really big into Barbies when I was little. And one year, my sister and I would play together a ton. One year, we both got matching Barbie dream houses that came with, like, a car and a garage. And they were huge. And just waking up to that on Christmas morning, I don't think they're, you know... that feeling of being little and seeing that, it's hard to beat.
I'm telling you, your mom, she is absolutely beautiful and could pass for your sister. I'm telling you, the three of you standing together, it took me a minute. I went, wait, is that her mom? And I had to go back to another couple pictures. Went, oh, that is her mother.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. Yeah, I think she's stunning too, but I'll have to tell her.
Beautiful, beautiful face. Beautiful. So is your sister. You've got some good genes in there. Really great genes.
Thank you.
So congratulations. It's been so much fun getting to know you, and I look forward to having you back for that full album. And what I'll do is I'll feature about 6 songs. And we'll do a special hour for you.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much, Kim. I really appreciate that.
Looking forward to it. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. And you do really great at this new project that you're working on right now. And congratulations on the new single. It is amazing. And I think so many of us relate to it. And I just want to see where you're at 5 years from now and what you're going to call that one.
Aww. The age at that stage.
Probably not. Probably not. See, it's fine when we get to 30, and even that one's a tough one, but then after that, it's like, nope, not saying a word.
Totally.
Well, it has been great having you on the show, and as I said, I look forward to having you back.
Oh, thank you so much, Kim. It was so great to chat today, and yes, wish you all the best and happy holidays and all of that.
Enjoy the CCMAs.
Thank you. I will. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, send some hugs to everybody for us.
I will, for sure.
All right. You take care, okay?
Okay, you too.
Oh, have a happy holiday.
Yeah, you too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, Canadian pop country artist Alex Hughes, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up for you. I take a look behind the artist, the lyrics, and the music. I will be interviewing David Boy James, pop artist Kea, Lemon Cash, Corey Marks, Cross Parallel, rock band Weapons, Taming Sari, Annika, Kira Lynn, voice winner Jay Coote will be back, FKB, Jamie Warren, The Washboard Union, and so many more. Don't forget to check out all of my podcasts at musicsjourney.com for more with many of the artist interviews that you don't want to miss. You can also check out the articles that I write on all the artists that you love and the latest music videos, reviews, and more at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey, and have yourself a wonderful day. I'll see you next time here on Music's Journey.
They mean nothing without all of the years of you.